Chapter 4. By 4 o'clock that afternoon, I had resumed my post in the split level, and while my space heater and my radio and my dwindling supply of 7-Eleven delicacies were waiting patiently for me, the brunette's white Corvette had finally departed. This was good news, or anyway news, as it seemed to indicate Annette had not moved in over break with Professor Byron after all. That might have cleared a path for me to slip across the street, especially after sundown, and close the book on the supposedly famous writer. Only another car was out front. I knew whose car this was. A yellow Corvair from the early 60s, a model known to have a few deficiencies, such as leaking oil, impaling its driver on the steering column in a collision, sending noxious fumes into the interior, and occasionally blowing up. This specimen seemed pretty much in one piece, with dents here and there, and twice as many anti-war and anti-Nixon bumper stickers as Tom's GTO. This questionable ride belonged to one of the 4 male students from the writer's workshop who Professor Byron was known to advise. For just a moment, I considered going over there and snuffing both of them, since they were both dead men, the prof my contracted target, and his student the Corvair driver. Around 6:30, already dark as midnight, but with a nearly full moon washing the snow in ivory blue, the student exited, a skinny kid in a gray parka and jeans and galoshes. His nest of facial hair stuck out like a porcupine was sitting on his face, a porcupine with granny glasses on its ass. The prof stayed in the doorway and watched his charge stride toward the Corvair with the confidence of a Lafayette escadrille pilot about to go up after the Red Baron. I figured his odds of getting home were about the same. That left the prof alone in his cottage, and me wondering if I should spend a couple of more days updating the obviously flawed surveillance info I'd been given before laying my ass on the line. Maybe Annette hadn't moved out. Maybe she'd skedaddled to the shopping mall over on the southeast side to kill time while Professor Loverboy dealt with a student who was presumably stopping by to deliver breathless prose and not a blowjob. By that reasoning, the brunette might wander in right when I was fulfilling the contract. If all I had to do was pop this fucker, that might be worth the risk. I could be in and out in minutes. But I had that extra assignment of rounding up certain manuscript pages and disposing of them that challenge broker had given me as his...